Please turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1, where we'll be reading in chapter 1, picking up in verse 10, where we left off. And as you're turning there and preparing to hear the words and even to come to the table, we did sing some lyrics that express an invitation. I think it's pretty clear. It's for the weary, it's for the penitent, so repentant, and even desolate and straying ones. So the invitation's to come to the mercy seat, to come to the feast prepared. And I'm wondering if you're ready for that today. Am I ready for that? To give worth and to receive grace from the Lord for our faith and our pilgrim feet. So if you need spiritual food, it is set before you. I hope you came expecting to receive today as well as give worship. There is an invitation set before you, and you'll hear one to the supper. You'll hear the word to come in three of our songs today. That's purposeful. And one of those might seem like a downer, come ye disconsolate. Where are we going with this? Where we've been with this is Isaiah's prophecy. We looked at the first verse, if you were here for that. The curtain opens, the scene is set for a revelation. The fact that Yahweh is salvation, which is what Isaiah's name means. And we looked at this reality of rebellion. There was an address to the people pointing out that you are prodigals, probably need a punishment. And yet, the Lord is extending peace. That's really where we left off. And so theologically, we're pursuing the reality that God has a particular people that he's going to clean up. He's going to save. They're not going to get destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah, but there will be survivors. And that's where we left off in reference to what gets practically repeated as we pick up now in verse 10, chapter 1, Isaiah, through verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray together. Father, we need your sure word, and you give it to us. And we pray in this very hour that you would cause us to see and to hear and to put into action what would please you most as revealed in this, your holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You like to be invited to things, to events. I think most of us like to be invited. You think even if you don't want to go, you think it's nice to be asked. Someone wants me there at some special occasion. Brought a few invitation. This is one, oh, for a wedding. You ever see a wedding invitation? Those go out every now and then. And, oh, they might want you to respond. In fact, here's a different one. This is one that we responded to just yesterday. It was due yesterday. So, and then there's this one. This is a invitation to a birthday party. And it's a detective. You can't see this, but it says a detective birthday party. And it, come and enjoy a treasure hunt, solve a mystery, and have lunch and cake. Who wouldn't want to go to that? It's an invitation. Count me in. Fun and refreshments. That's what's expected, I suppose, to respondez-vous plaît, RSVP. I had to Spanish, but you get the idea. Respond to this thing. Okay, so here's a different kind of invitation. I wrote this one down here. Let's say you get this one in your box. Dear Joe, or Betty, or Betty Joe, whatever your name is, even though I find you empty, offensive, and hypocritical, still, you are warmly invited to come to receive refreshment from me. Please RSVP. So how do you like that? You might think, well, what kind of invitation is that? Because technically it is an invitation. You are invited. A little bit offended, maybe. You think, how presumptuous, how rude. Think I'll come to that. It's not an invitation, that's an accusation. Does this person actually think that these harsh words are going to woo me to want to come for refreshment? I don't need that kind of refreshment. Get accused in this way. What did we just hear in the reading of God's Word today? Did you hear an invitation? You did. It's an invitation from God. It's through the prophet. We've already met. It's to God's people who presently, what? They're living in rebellion and hypocrisy. And yet still what's happening? Here's the word of the Lord coming to this people, both then and really today, through this word, inviting hypocrites to receive refreshment. And that's what we ought to respond to today, because there's a gracious invitation, one that's offered here and one that's received here, and I hope you see it and receive it by grace through faith in Jesus today. It's an invitation that's calling all of us to quit the act, and not just quit the act, but to come to the Lord, to return to Him. And both of those together, it's really our 2 points today, no alliteration, you know. But quit the act and come to the Lord. Return to Him. Repent. That's the picture that is set before us. Turn away from the sin that is infecting you and return to the Lord who's calling you. He wants to give you refreshment. He wants to give us refreshment today. And in this invitation, it begins very clearly with a call to hear. You see that? To listen. That's what the Lord says. And we want to recognize the complaint, what He sees and what He knows completely. He knows His people are putting on an act. And that's what a hypocrite is. We've been over this before. I remind you that that's really basically what the word means. Hypocrite is an actor. Hypocrite. Actor. You're putting on a show. You say one thing, you do another, you act. So we want to quit the act. You're an actor. You go through the motions. You recite things. You have specific lines. But inwardly, you don't really feel it because you're acting. And so we want to quit the act. And that's how verse 10 is inviting us. First of all, if you look with me there again, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Again, that's an invitation. Might sound like the one that your buddy just sent you in your box. And it's harsh. It's listing offenses. And maybe you're offended, and maybe because there are offenses, there are outcomes. Isaiah's hearers knew these names. Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, you don't want to be identified with them. They're practically the poster children of bad behavior and sin and offense to God. Question. Would God destroy his own people like he did Sodom and Gomorrah? And the short answer is no, not utterly. And we've been over this. God's got a plan. He is faithful to his plan. He's going to save. Yahweh is salvation. There will be survivors or a remnant. And that remnant will show up throughout Isaiah. If you glance back at verses 8 and 9, God is faithful to his covenant. He would not completely destroy, but there would be survivors. But the offense of this people, the spiritual condition of the people, it's empty. It's external only. It's a show. Hypocrites. And this is happening even in the worship, maybe especially in the worship. They're parading sin. It's too much for the Lord to endure. You see that in verse 13? Just skip down to that for a second. That's what the Lord says. I cannot, right? Cannot endure iniquity. Solemn assembly. See that? Verse 13. And that's really the flavor of these verses 10 through 15 as a whole. If you were in a 242 group, a small group that met, one of the questions asked this. Based on verses 10 through 15, describe the sights, sounds, and smells spewing forth from this scene. 10 through 15. See that? And then I ask, does it appear delightful? Why or why not? And so here's the invitation that picks up in verse 11. What to me, see it, is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. I don't know if your group talked about that, but I mean, the Lord is not down on the sacrifices per se. I mean, he prescribed these. This was the form. This was the ritual, the rite, if you will. But there's a problem, evidently, with what's happening here. The sacrifices, the system of the worship being offered is displeasing. He doesn't like the act. It's doing nothing for him. And again, if people say, yeah, but he told them to bring the bulls and the goats. God's saying, this is not what I wanted. Not like this. What I want, what I require, is a sacrifice of the heart and your life that flows from that heart that's been changed. And you're bringing me this act, a form, this external sign. It's outward only. It's empty of true meaning. It's a liturgy that is listless. No heart. It's a charade. It needs to end. So look with me, verses 12 through 14 again. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? And there's some debate on what, not debate, it's not too consequential. Either way, there's a lot of noise. Is the trampling of the bulls and the goats that are being brought in there, or is it just the people wandering around, not mindlessly, but acting? It's trampling. His courts were not designed for this. It's noise. He doesn't like it. Verse 13, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. Okay, so to review, were the people showing up for the worship service? They showed up. What's the problem then? I think you know what the problem is. They're not worshiping. They just got forms. It's a formalism. It's a formality. There's no coming in spirit and truth. The hearts weren't in it. And they may have had really good form. You know, if they brought, hey, you wanted the bulls and the goats. Here they are. Got the special festivals. Yeah, but no heart. And evidently no hand involved either. Look at me at verse 15. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. How's that for a picture? First of all, God's not listening, and then the bloody hands. And so the question could be, why are their hands bloody? And someone could argue it's because of the sacrifices, the blood of the sacrifices on there. It could be. But in the context, there's this problem there's a this full blood, there's violence, there's actual violence being done. So there's societal problems here. The people are, it's this bad. The poor worship, this bad heart, is spilling out into social and personal expression. Stretched out in prayer, filled with blood, those kinds of hands. They're rebels. And it's a heart problem and a hand problem. It's outward because it's inward. And Isaiah is about to detail this further, but I want you to see the clear picture that's been set before you already. We've looked at verses 1 through 9. You can glance back at that. We talked about rebellion, and here we're adding the, not the nuance, just the specificity of rebellion that includes this act. You need to quit the act. You're putting on a show in my courts, in my face. God hates it. How many different ways is that expressed here? He hates it. That's explicit. He's weary. He's burdened. He's going to hide his eyes from the acts of the actors who even ask things in prayer. Stop it. Quit the act. Stop this sinning in my presence. What you call worship. Going through the motions. Yeah, do you think, this wasn't planned this way, to have the catechism of the second commandment be today, but it's very much in line here. You got this, how are we supposed to worship God? I know, I've got all these great ideas, and I'll do it my ways, and I'll do it heartlessly, both. Or even if I do it with all my heart, I do it the wrong way, God's saying, no, stop it. Stop it. And the world says the church is full of hypocrites. Touche. But when God is the one saying it, it's a different kind of problem here. The world may or may not be right about that. They might be stumbling into some truth. But God knows the heart of the matter. He knows very specifically what's happening. Are we aware of what's happening? Religiously active, but heartless. Forms only. We need to look no further than this very hour if you're looking for an application, and I don't know what your groups talked about, but part of the setup for this particular lesson was setting you forward with the song of preparation and a closing or a table song, and also you're going to be here for this service. I found myself even thinking, knowing that I asked that question, I better pay closer attention to the song I'm singing because I'll be busting you for it. But it's hard. It's so hard as a human to pay attention. Have you ever noticed that? And again, I'm back to this reference. There's no lights, camera, action. It's just a guy standing up here talking. Or is that all there is? Is that all there is? Or does the Holy Spirit use these humble means to grow you, to challenge you, even to hear an invitation to hypocrites to stop the acting? And there may be acting this morning. For example, in our opening song, did you actually praise the Lord and all that is in you adore him? Or when you got to the disconsolate song, were you thinking, this is about, and you lose attention. You're distracted. Or you don't like the words. You think, I want something more lively. And then it becomes an outward mumbling of words. Been there. I don't have the luxury of tuning out the entire service. But I get it. Congregational prayer. I won't ask for a show of hands. Did anyone lose track somewhere in there? And do you even know that the congregational prayer is intended? It's not just someone up here praying. You're praying with this person. It's not complicated, but it involves more than an act. You bowed your head, you close your eyes, but we're going after the heart. At least the Spirit is. And Isaiah is through the word of the Lord here. The list goes on and on about what happens in a service of worship and on the table and set before you as a table. We'll even raise the question, is it a show? Is it a performance only? Did your heart come here wanting to give to the Lord and to receive from the Lord? It's a very common condition this hypocrisy, this ritualism, this sentimentalism, whatever you want to call it. We need to quit the act. Don't just come here to get needs met. The Lord is pleased to meet your need. I hope you came here spiritually hungry and you know it. The Lord wants to address that. But I also hope you came here thinking, I need to give to the Lord worship in spirit and in truth out of gratitude for Jesus. He calls his people together. He does so to this day. And here they are on this day. It's not going well. The Lord is displeased. And there's going to be an invitation. Now, did you hear? Yeah, it sounds harsh. You want to come as a hypocrite and receive refreshment from me? And you can chuckle at the one earlier, but that's where this is going. Did you hear the tone change almost? And yet the grace that the invitation extends. That's leading us to another aspect of repentance in these words. Because God's call is not simply to quit something, like quit the act, quit the hypocrisy. There's also a positive invitation here, and I hope you hear it well. It's to come to me, says the Lord. Come to me. Quit the act. Come to me. Return to me. And if you look with me now at verses 16 and 17, you should hear this well. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. We'll pause there. There's more invitation there. And where's it heading? I've already told you it's heading to the table. Let's just pause here for a second and zoom in a little bit here. Obviously, God's calling. He's commanding. He's inviting his people to get right with him, right? By doing what? But, you know, leave behind this old way of life. You see many details there. The old way of thinking, the old way of acting outside of his will, disobedience. And Isaiah has been making it clear this displeasure of the Lord through these words. It's very vivid. It's to God's people, as we've been pointing out. There's the invitation to them. And it's flowing from a clean heart. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not clean heart or obedience. It's both and, as we go through it in both Romans and summarized in the Catechism. It's guilt, grace, and gratitude. You obey because you want to. It's not like you have to do all these things. You look at this list and think, oh no, is he going to start talking? You know, we could. It looks like a list that you could do a sermon series on, I suppose. Cease doing evil. Fill in the blank. May even be what you confessed in the time of silent confession, because your heart was in it then, even today. And yet if there's this show, if there's a contradiction in your life, here's the Lord effectively saying, yeah, no way, not my people. And verses 16 and 17, we get practically a summer reminder of what pleases the Lord, along with this need to get clean, to get washed up, to get made right, to get made right with God, and having done so, made right with others in society. And in just two short verses, Isaiah's here rattling off a whole bunch of commands, and they add up to the point. And they point to really a reversal of the heart. No surprise there. And not just a heart, but a habit. This is the way, that's the heart and the habit. You keep doing these things. Stop the wrongdoing, learn the well-doing, and learn it from God, from his word. You seek justice, correct oppression, verse 17. Okay, these things, plead the widow's cause. This is not new teaching. It's not like they're thinking, oh no, we've never heard these things. They know this. These are reminders. And yet they need to get refreshed, retaught. Go over this from time to time. Why do you need to hear the gospel? Why do you need to take the Lord's Supper again today? You say, we did that a couple weeks ago. Why do we? Because we need to receive the gospel. We need to hear it over and over again. Because In some way this week, we put on an act. We need to stop that. We need to repent and seek refreshment from the Lord, the cleansing that is talked about here. I don't want you to misunderstand either. Follow this close. Isaiah, he's established already, and really in less than one chapter, he's making it clear that God's people are needy and rebellious. Check. He's also making it clear that God doesn't like any of this. Check. And as covenant people today, are we listening well? This condition's nothing new. Christians still rebel. Christians still prove hypocritical. Inward, outward acting, social injustice, all these things, self-centered worship, all that. And maybe your small groups wanted to go through, and if you wanted the luxury of looking at the list and seeing all, you know, how we fall short in these ways, have at it. It's good to stare at this and find conviction and remember that the Lord is not pleased. And that's why the invitation comes to the hypocrite to hear, to listen, to stop, to learn, and to wash. And now here in verses 18 through 20, maybe you've heard these before even today or your study, we're invited by God to come to him very specifically. Look at me again. Listen. Verse 18. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall become like wool. Verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So there it is, a call to God's people that day, in our day, today. What's it going to be? Are you going to continue the act, the rebellion, the hypocrisy, and get destroyed? I don't like that invitation. Or repent and believe and get the good land. I like that part. So it's let's debate that is the picture here. Let's reason. Which is more wise? Which is more beneficial all the way around? You want life or you want death? Well, as a bargaining point, you think that you want blessings or curses. But it's not just intellectual, because sometimes we look at this in a modern mind or a postmodern mind, whatever we are these days. We say, let's be reasonable, and we think reason is some sort of coming together of two bright people, and we'll negotiate something, and we're equals, and we'll hammer this out based on some standard called reason. As though reason was something that was independent from God, and even God has to submit to the reason. Yeah, reason is not invented by humans. The Lord, he is the same. He breathes out what is right. It's reasonable, but it's true. There's a standard for this. And our sins here, it's not like, notice that it is a comparison, but they are like this. Your sins are like scarlet and red like crimson, and so these are colors. In other words, we're back to blood. These are, I think I asked in your study guide, what does a red sin look like? Well, in this setting, remember, there's blood guiltness, and it's red. And until you get washed up, it stays, you're guilty. You need the blood off of your hands. You need this color changed. You need snow. How? How do, and here you need to get this one right. How do you wash and make yourself clean? There's verse 16. How do you do it though? How do you get rid of the stain of guilt, the nature of sin? And a lot of people today really do believe, they really do believe this, and you cannot, do not believe this, that you, it might sound like it here, you need to get yourself clean. This is terrible news. Terrible news that you need to reject. This idea that you will make yourself clean by being better and good, and we keep going over this idea that myself, my self-righteousness, yikes, is going to save the day and save the Craig. Or we say, I will specify and get real deliberate with, I will champion and I will be the best at, and you fill in the blanks, oh, I will be a political stallion. I will fight the cause. I will go to church in the evening service too. And like I pointed out last week, I'll add 7 minutes to my Bible reading. That will make me clean. That is not what makes you clean. None of that makes you clean. People mutter things or confidently attest that God helps those who help themselves. That is false. It's not in the Bible. It's popular. It's false. And it's not reasonable that God helps those who help themselves. And that's why it's not in the Bible. There's instead here a response that is required for an invitation that is much more pleasing. You see what it is? The favor, the cleansing, it's not by way of your obedience. That's where this is going. It's not even if you're so willing. As some want verse 19 to say, they see the word if, and then it sounds conditional, that if I do this, if I'm willing, then I'll eat the best of the land. Well, how are you going to get these things? You're going to refresh yourself by your obedience. I'll ask it briefly. Do you want that to be the answer? Do you want that to be the answer? I'll clean up myself. I'll clean up my act. I'll quit the act through my effort. That's not where this is going, thankfully. You don't earn your cleansing. You don't work for your righteousness. You need someone to give it to you. And this is the gospel truth. And here's the invitation. It's throughout God's word, as hopefully you've come to expect every week. But there's an invitation here to receive a gift, to enjoy something that you're not able to earn. You can't go out and buy this. Again, who is making the appeal right here? Whose action is going to save the day? Who's going to turn your sin from scarlet to snow, from crimson to clean? You know the answer. Can you express the answer from these verses here? The emphasis is not on the works of humans or the acts or the acting of man. Instead, the focus remains on the promise of God, who he is, his promise to deliver rebellious hypocrites, even that gather in his courts. It's a gracious invitation. You need to hear it today. And you need to hear the call this for restoration and refreshment at the table. And move away from these empty offensive acts. I remember talking to the teens years ago, the youth director. Remember those? Remember being a youth? And one of the, I still remember, is out in the church parking lot, the kids are grousing and reflecting on things. But there was a particular time in their story, in their life, when they were so, as a group, they were so tired of being fake. Maybe this is still going on, but and this was before social media and stuff. Just by living life, they saw phoniness and they saw it in themselves and they didn't like it, which is, okay, so far so good. But they were tired of it and they expressed it in terms of, I think the word real came up. I don't want to be fake anymore. I want to be real. I don't want to put on a show. Not for my friends, not for myself, not for my parents, and not for God. I'm tired of it. And one reason they were tired of it, I hope you know why, it's too hard. It should be tiring to live and act. So it's a good sign that the Spirit might be at work in a heart like that. They see the act, they feel the burden of it, and they want the change. And if you believe that your change will turn the tide. I got better news for you. And so does Isaiah. It's not through your act. It's not through your act at home or at school or at work or when you're driving around in the car, when you're sitting at the computer by yourself. There's an invitation from God, and he's pleased to give it to repentant sinners desiring refreshment. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Count me in. So who's the hypocrite here? You hypocrite today, maybe even in the service of worship, as we've been pointing out, poking around a little bit, letting the Holy Spirit sort out where the heavy landing needs to land. But you see these words, you hear these words, you see this table, and you know what it stands for, you know what it points to, you know who it points to. It points to your cleansing because of a cross. The Lord who invites you to receive himself through a sacrifice servant that Isaiah continues to develop throughout this prophecy. If you want the stain of sin removed, if you want the blood guilt removed, if you want your punishment taken from you, if you want righteousness given to you, Jesus is the one who's willing to do it. Jesus is the one who's inviting you to this table. Jesus is the one who was obedient for you when you failed. Rebels and hypocrites, repentant ones, come trusting Jesus. This is the gospel truth. It has been throughout God's entire storyline. And you're going to hear it over and over again, and I hope you want to hear it every week. And today, taste it and see it, because it's true. To receive an invitation, not only to quit the act, but to come to the Lord, the same Lord who, some 700 years after Isaiah wrote this, he spoke this invitation. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's your Lord who invites you today. The same Lord who on the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Big picture there. Until he comes. There's a proclamation. There's a celebration. The apostle adds this word of warning. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Again, you don't want to do that. You want Jesus to take your judgment. And that's why we have these words and this image set before us. There's an institution. There's a warning. But you did hear in these words and in this word an invitation for repentant sinners to come and taste and see that it was your Lord who was made to be sin so that in him you might become the righteousness of God.